If it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I shall be taken away from thee. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou shalt see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back, and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. At the close of Jesus' earthly ministry, he gathered his disciples round about him. And he said unto them, it is expedient that I go. For if I go, I will send you another comforter. Jesus declared that it was necessary that he depart so that another comforter could be given. Now, Jesus Christ himself was quite a comforter. He's the kind of guy that you would love to be around. If you were sailing at sea and a storm suddenly began to beat and batter your boat, it was a comfort to have Jesus with you. Because he simply spoke the word and the storm stopped. If you were having a party and you ran out of food, Jesus was a comfort to have with you. For he was able to take a few small loaves and multiply them to feed 5,000. He was able to take ordinary water and transform it into wine. If you were sick, man, what a comfort it would be to be in the presence of Jesus. For he could simply speak a word of healing and the sickness would depart. Jesus is a comforter, but he declared, "It is expedient that I go so I can send you another comforter." Now why? Because you see, while Jesus was on earth, he was limited. Having a body, he was physically limited to being in one place at one time. And he knew that his church would grow, that his kingdom would expand. And so he said, "I must depart that I can send you another comforter, one just like me, but without the limitations of me," that is, having no body, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so right now, don't you know that Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, is in our midst? But at the same time, he is also not only an Applegate, but Anchorage as well. And at the same time, he's in Medford. Yes, he's even in White City. He's in Honolulu. He's in Peking. He's in Bangkok and Bombay. He is limitless. He is allowed to be moving in churches, in peoples all across the globe. That is why he said, "It is expedient that I go." Well, after Jesus Christ died on the cross and then rose again from the dead, verifying and validating his claim as the Messiah, he appeared unto his disciples again. And these same disciples were huddled together behind locked doors. And Jesus burst through those doors and said, "Peace, it is I, be of good cheer." And then Jesus in John chapter 20 did something most unusual. He breathed on them. And he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." You see, the word Spirit in the Greek language is pneuma, which can also be translated as breath or wind. The word Spirit in Hebrew, in which the Old Testament was written, is ruach, which can also be translated as breath or wind. Jesus was breathing on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And at that time, those Christians became born again. For Jesus had died, he had resurrected, and now he was imparting to them the person of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus breathes on you and says, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," you're going to get the Holy Spirit, the breath of life. Now at that point, the disciples had the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit did not yet have the disciples. For Jesus turned to those same men that received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait there until they are empowered with the Holy Spirit from upon high. They were to tarry. They were to wait and receive the coming upon of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word is epi. They had the Holy Spirit in them, that is, they were born again. But Jesus said to that same group, you shall receive power, dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, Jesus, after he gave that commandment and commission to go and wait for the empowering, he ascended. And then, 40 days, he appeared on earth. 10 days after his ascension, the Holy Spirit came down upon that group of disciples. A group of disciples who were timid and fearful, hiding away in an upper room, suddenly became turned on and powerful. A group that was afraid, really, to move out in any way, suddenly was stirred up in a dynamic way. They were changed. They were empowered. The Holy Spirit came upon them, was not simply in them, but was now upon them. Now, this is the secret of the early church. Gang, listen. The reason that the church in the book of Acts could turn the world upside down is because they were turned on in the Holy Spirit. They were empowered. The Holy Spirit was not just in them, but the Holy Spirit was upon them, flowing through them. Now, saints throughout all of the ages, since the days of the early church and before the days of the early church, have all understood that the secret of power is the Holy Spirit. Why in the Old Testament? We read about the Holy Spirit coming upon Moses and upon the 70 elders that were ministering alongside of Moses. How Eldad and Medad began to prophesy when the Holy Spirit came upon them. How Othniel was empowered for service when the Holy Ghost came upon him. How Samson was supernaturally strengthened. How Gideon stepped out in faith. How David sang psalms of praise and danced before the Lord. The list goes on and on of Old Testament saints who were used mightily by the Lord when the Holy Spirit came upon their lives. In our text today, we see another example of the Holy Spirit coming upon a man. His name? Elisha. We saw on Wednesday how Elijah the prophet, realizing his days were coming to an end, went to Elisha and cast his mantle upon Elisha, and Elisha recognized he was being called into service. For the next 6 years, Elisha the prophet simply was serving Elijah, the man of God. Pouring water on his hands, tending his needs, but all the while observing this tremendous man of God and recognizing that the secret of this man's life was the power of the Holy Spirit upon his life. And now Elijah's ready to be taken up. He turns to his young protege and says, "What do you want?" "I know what I want. I want a double portion of the same Spirit that's upon you, upon me." "Ho, ho, ho," the old prophet said, "you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you keep your eyes on me, and if you see me depart, it shall be granted unto you. Elisha, keep your eyes on the Master. If your eyes are on the Master, you will receive that anointing, that empowering that you are desiring. But first, even before that point, the wise old prophet of power, Elijah, takes this young protege, Elisha, through a series of tests. He takes Elisha through four cities, and in each one of those cities, he says to Elisha, "Hey, stay here. I've got to go on. You hang back." Elisha says, "No way. Man, I know that the hour is coming when you're departing, and I'm not leaving. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going to stick to you like glue." I want you to take note today of these four cities, because in these four cities, we see the four points of preparation that are necessary before empowerment can take place. For I believe that the vast majority of us want a greater measure of the Holy Spirit upon us. I believe that we don't simply want to have the Holy Spirit, but we want the Holy Spirit to have us. Amen? That we want to be used by the Lord, doing great exploits for the Lord, being of service to the Lord. And we know that in and of ourselves, even though we're born again, even though we have the Holy Spirit, that we have a tendency to be timid, that we have a tendency to be powerless when we want to be turned on and powerful. The Holy Ghost has recorded this story, I think, to give us insights into four points of preparation. The first is the city of Gilgal. That is the place of purification. Israel, as you know, was in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. And then the Lord raised up a deliverer in Moses, and the people of Israel were released from Pharaoh's iron grip. After spending a short time at Mount Sinai, they went to Kadesh Barnea, where they were supposed to be moving into the land of promise. Moses sent in 12 spies to scope out the land. The spies came back and said, "Man, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's great. Grapes the size of basketball. Milky Way bars, Honey Nut Cheerios, it's all there." But then the spies said, "However, there's giants in the land." And the people said, "Oh no, giants, difficulties, obstacles, we don't want to go in." And they murmured and they griped and they moaned and babied. Well, the Lord said, because of their unbelief, that generation which didn't have faith in the Lord is going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until they die off. Then a new generation, being birthed and raised up, shall move into the promised land. So the world's longest death march took place. For 40 years, they wandered through the wilderness until the entire older generation kicked the bucket. Now, a new generation has been raised up. They cross into the promised land, and the first place they come is to Gilgal. And the Lord says to them at Gilgal, "Stop, before you do any battling, before you make any claims, you must circumcise the entire generation. For you see, they had grown up uncircumcised." Circumcision speaks in the Scripture of putting off of the flesh. The Bible talks about three areas in our lives where we need to be circumcised: our ears, what we hear, our tongue, what we say, our hearts, how we love. Those areas can become callous. The Word of God we no longer long for, but it bores us. It's not interesting to us. The words that we speak are no longer edifying, encouraging, and joyful, but cynical, quenching, doubtful. The heart is no longer tender and full of love, but it's hard. Those areas need to be circumcised. The flesh needs to be cut off. The first point of preparation for empowerment is purification. And there at Gilgal, an entire nation was circumcised. The flesh was put off. Was it painful? Yes. Was it needed? Absolutely. You see, if I am going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I must first be emptied of the flesh. Too often, too many people are trying to get filled when in reality they need to be emptied. There is sin in their lives. Flesh has grown over areas that were once tender and sensitive. And thus they can no longer drink deeply of the living water. I spent a couple of days camping at Indian Mary last week. Me and Tammy and my kids and my sister Nikki and her husband Larry were sitting there on the beach. It was a beautiful day and we were just sort of kicking back and I grabbed a can of Diet Coke. And then I just began to drink that Diet Coke and enjoy it, and suddenly I felt something in my throat. And then I felt a pain. And I thought, oh no, I swallowed the pop top. But I checked the top of the can and the pop top was still there. My throat was hurting and I looked inside and then I saw that inside the can of Coke were a bunch of hornets. I had swallowed a hornet. And it stung me in my throat. And I put that Coke can down, and suddenly my desire for Diet Coke was greatly diminished. I didn't drink deeply. In fact, I didn't do a whole lot. Because that sting had caused a swelling within my throat, and my desire and capacity to take in was greatly limited at that point. That's what sin does. Sin stings and causes swelling. You don't desire to drink deeply of the Lord. And you are unable to drink deeply of the Lord. And so you simply put that living water down and say, I'm not interested, I'm not thirsty. Sin causes swelling. It's got to be dealt with. First, purification. The second city that Elijah took Elisha to was the city of Bethel, which is the place of realization. Now in Genesis chapter 28, there's an interesting story of how Jacob, that sneaky dude, his name means heel snatcher, a perfect name for him, always tripping people up. How old heel snatcher Jacob tricked his dad into giving him the birthright and the blessing. Esau was supposed to get it, but Jacob connived and schemed and got it for himself. Well, after he got the birthright and the blessing, man, he knew that Esau, his brother, wouldn't be really thrilled with him. So he took off and ran for his life. He came to a place in the wilderness on that first night of his running away. And there in a God-forsaken, dark, terrible place, barren, dry, wild, he pulled up a pillow, actually pulled up a rock, and he used that rock for a pillow, and he laid his head down. He went to sleep. That night in that place, God revealed himself to Jacob. Supernaturally, Jacob awoke and said, surely God is in this place and I knew it not. God is here. and I knew it not. Now, why didn't Jacob know it? Because, first of all, the surroundings, barren, dry, hot, wilderness, desert. Man, God can't be in this place. And second of all, his own circumstances. He was conniving and sneaking and sinning and all of that. And surely God couldn't be in that place. And then he woke up and found himself marveling, saying, God is in this place, and I knew it not. He then called the name of that place Bethel, which means house of God. Gang, listen. Maybe you look at your circumstances or your surroundings and you say, man, the Lord might want to bless the person sitting behind me. Or the Lord might want to give a double measure of His Spirit to the person sitting in front of me. But not me. I'm a heel snatcher. Or I'm a heel. And my situation, my surroundings are brutal. I'm in a wasted place, a wasted state. I've wasted time. I've wasted energy. My life, oh, wow. Hey, the Lord wants to bless you today. You must realize that. Regardless of where you've been previously or what your circumstances are presently, if you will come to Him, He will bless you right now, right today. He really will. Listen, when it comes to the area of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Early this morning, before the sun was up, I heard a knock on my back door. And I got up, went to the back door, and there, standing at the back door, were two miniature people. Christy and Jesse slept outside last night. And I looked at them and I realized that as I had checked on them late last night, I inadvertently locked the door and they were locked out. And they stood there and there was tears in their eyes and I said, "What's wrong, girls?" Daddy, all over our sleeping bags and all inside our sleeping bags are thousands of slugs. And they were crying and I said, "Oh, well, go back out there and tough it out." No, I didn't say that. I picked them up in my arms and kissed them and wiped away their tears and tucked them in their own beds and they were delighted to be inside. Why? Because I'm a parent and parents feel for their kids. You are sons and daughters of God. And if you stand at the back door of the Lord's house, so to speak, and say, "Abba, Papa, I'm hurting. I'm not experiencing that power and that presence that I read about in your word. Man, the slugs of life are leaving their trail all over me." Abba's not going to say, "Well, tough it out. Try harder." Man, the Father said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Realization. The third city that Eli... No, I didn't say that. I picked them up in my arms and kissed them and wiped away their tears and tucked them in their own beds and they were delighted to be inside. Why? Because I'm a parent and parents feel for their kids. You are sons and daughters of God. And if you stand at the back door of the Lord's house, so to speak, and say, Abba, Papa, I'm hurting. I'm not experiencing that power and that presence that I read about in your word. Man, the slugs of life are leaving their trail all over me. Abba's not going to say, well, tough it out. Try harder. Man, the Father said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Realization. The third city that Elijah the prophet took Elisha, this man being prepared for power, to was Jericho, the city of confrontation. After purification, after realization, Jericho, of course, is that place of confrontation. When the children of Israel came into the land of promise after they were purified at Gilgal, standing before them was the unbelievably difficult task of conquering Jericho. Its walls loomed high. It was thought to be impregnable. The Lord commanded the people of Israel to march around that city once a day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they were to march around that city 6 times. Then on the seventh time, they were to shout and the walls came down. And you know the story. It was a fabulous victory. But the shout was for a purpose, and that was to knock the walls down. It was a place of confrontation. Listen, the Holy Spirit is given not to make you feel good inside primarily. The Holy Spirit is given not to make you be happy primarily. The Holy Spirit is given, gang, not to give you a holy high. The Holy Spirit is given for the purpose of service. To take on Jerichos. To reach out to people who are walled up. To touch lives and change situations. That's the reason the Holy Spirit is given. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses. Now, this is a hard question. Let me ask you this. Do you really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because what that means is you're going to be a witness. Well, John, I don't really want that. I just want to kind of be high in the Lord. Could I ask you a very personal question? When's the last time you witnessed? Truly. I mean, sat down with somebody. Has it been weeks? Months? Years? When you really shared with somebody, not in the church context, but I mean a neighbor, a guy in the grocery store, a hitchhiker, a friend, sitting down with somebody and saying, hey, I want to share with you about Jesus Christ. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to empower you to be a witness, to be a servant. Yesterday afternoon, my daughter Jessica was crying. Hard day for Jesse yesterday. Tears were running down her cheeks as she was relating to Tammy and then to me. Daddy, I don't understand. I'm always talking to, and then she used the name of a little friend of hers that lives in our neighborhood. I'm always talking to her about Jesus, and she just keeps walking away. And I don't want her to go to hell, Daddy. And I keep talking to her, but she's not listening. And she was crying. And you know, the thing that struck me is here is a 7-year-old girl crying for a neighbor. And the Lord said to me at my heart, John, when's the last time you cried for your neighbor? When's the last time you cried for anyone? When's the last time you went to Abba, Papa, Daddy, and said, I don't understand, Father. I keep talking, I keep sharing, I keep loving, and they're not receiving. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is for confrontation, to be victorious in service, to be powerful in witness. If you're not interested in being a servant, then don't seek the filling of the Spirit. If you're not desirous of being a witness, then you're wasting your time asking for the Holy Spirit. But if you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to be a witness, and so, Lord, give me the power of your Holy Spirit, He will. The final and fourth city, after the city of purification, after the city of realization, Bethel, after the city of confrontation, Jericho, was the place of expectation, Jordan. The Jordan River. The Jordan River, where we read how when the Israelites were moving into the promised land, the priests put their foot in the water, and suddenly the waters parted and they went across on dry land. As they put their foot in the water, they expected the waters to part. They didn't stand on the edge of the bank saying, Lord, you part the waters and then we'll see if we feel like stepping in. No, they stepped in first, and as they stepped, a miracle took place. The place where we read Naaman the Syrian went into the Jordan River and was told by the prophet to dip seven times to be cured of leprosy. And he said, oh man, I don't want to do that. That's dumb. We got cleaner rivers back in Syria. The Jordan's just a dirty drink. Dip seven times. Ah, forget it. And then his servant said, Naaman, what do you have to lose? You're dying of leprosy. And so finally he consented to be dipped seven times. And as he did it and took the step of faith, even though it was reluctant, as he was obedient to the commandment, he was healed of his leprosy. Jesus Christ, the same Jordan, the same river, when he was in the Jordan River, as he was lifted out of the Jordan River by John the Baptist in the act of baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. If you desire to be filled, to be baptized, to be empowered, then you must come to the place of expectation where you say, yes, Lord, I am putting my foot in the water. Yes, Lord, I am dipping seven times if necessary. Yes, Lord, I am going to have my eyes looking up, as did Jesus, expecting the power of the Holy Spirit to descend upon me. I'm expecting that to take place. For without faith, the Word says, it is impossible to please Him. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Elisha passed these tests. He kept going. He went through all four of these places. At every juncture, Elijah said, are you sure you want to keep going? Why don't you just stay here? You know what your heart's going to tell you? Are you sure you want to keep going deeper and deeper into the things of God? Hey, that's getting too rad. Hold back. Hang back. Schools of prophets, theologians.
Elisha, do you know that today your master is going to depart? You better not go on. There's serious ramifications for such experience.
And there are still schools of theologians that will come by you and say,
Pardon me, but such empowering is not practical or possible, not necessary or needed in today's theological understanding.
Let the schools of prophets say that it can't happen. But that same group of prophets later on, when they saw that it did happen, came and bowed before Elisha and said, truly, the spirit that was upon Elijah is now on Elisha. And the same thing will happen with you and with me. When people sense a vitality, a vibrancy, a life,
an ability that's supernatural. Why am I preaching this subject at this length on this hot of a day? You're, laugh on this side. You guys say, yeah. This is the hot side over here, gang. Why? Because I believe there are many, many people in our fellowship that have never really moved into the power of the Holy Spirit because they've never really asked or sought. Others who moved in the power of the Holy Spirit back in 1948. Oh, yeah. Man, back in 48, we had a real happening at Camp Meeting USA. And it was great, and the Holy Spirit fell, and I spoke in tongues, and it was marvelous. Yeah, but what's happened since 48? You see, in Acts chapter 4, the same group of disciples that was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, was retouched and refilled and renewed. I believe there are many here who have at one time had a Holy Spirit experience, but need to be renewed desperately. I believe there are some here today that say yes, even as Elisha looked at Elijah and said, I want a double measure. There are some saying, yeah, I want more of the Lord. And I'm tired of being impotent. I'm weary of being locked in an upper room, not sharing the testimony of Jesus Christ. Not flowing in praise, not being filled with joy and love and peace, the fruit of the Spirit. I'm really weary. Today's the day the Lord wants to touch and minister to you. To you who say like Elisha, I want a double measure. I need it. I am asking you to travel the same path. First of all, if there is unconfessed sin in your life, right now, confess it. Gilgal, Father, my attitudes have been amiss. My activities have been wrong. Whatever it might be, Lord, I confess that I have erred, that I have missed the mark. Forgive me. Secondly, not only confess your sin, but confess that surely God is in this place. He's with you. Realization, Bethel, yes, Lord. By the promise of your word, you said that you would never leave me nor forsake me. You said, what can separate me from your love? Neither life, nor death, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate me. Lord, thank you. To come to the place of confrontation saying, and Lord, I realize the true motive for being empowered is to be a servant, is to serve you. And then expectation, Lord, I'm putting my foot in the water. Part the river, Lord. I'm taking the step of faith. Make it happen. People talk a lot about the vitality of this church family. But you could be right in the middle of it and yet not experience that vitality personally. In New Orleans yesterday, city lifeguards who were celebrating a summer season without a drowning found a guest dead at the bottom of the pool at the end of their party. About half of the 200 people at the party were lifeguards. Four of them stayed on duty all night long. The annual party is held at the end of July. At the end of the party, the guards on duty began clearing the pool, discovered the body of 31-year-old Jerome Moody at the deep end of the pool. That's incredible. 100 lifeguards celebrating. When the party's over, there's one dead, drowned in the pool. See, you might be in the midst of Spirit-filled believers right now saying, oh, this is great here. But when this party is over and you get in your car and drive away, you say, what's wrong with me? I experience the life flow, the power, the joy, the love. But man, when I drive away, it's not personal, it's not real. Today's the day to make it personal and real. You don't have to be at the bottom of the pool. You can be flowing in the river of life. Let's pray.